already have to go
to
the... Alright, guys, let's see.
I should go into that little one.
Guys, let's get started.
So, I said today we're going to discuss the question of gerushin when there are kids in the marriage. It doesn't come up so explicitly in the Gemara, but some of the Puskim take up this question and relate it to some comments in the Gemara as we saw at the end of last year, correct? And then once we're done with this sugya, early next week, we're going to come back to the kfiya lehotzi question. If you recall, we're in the middle of our discussion of rounding out the mitzvah legaresh, rishus legaresh, kfiya legaresh. We had the sugya in the end of Gittin, Daf Tzadi, talked about mitzvah legaresh and rishus legaresh. We had the sugya in Yevamos, which speaks of mitzvah legaresh. Then we had the sugyas in Ksuvis, Ayin Zayin, that speak about Elu Kofin Lahotzi. Right, so these all seem to be different types of grounds for dissolving a marriage. We're not sure how different they are. Some cases are kfiya, some cases are something a license, some cases are a mitzvah. Today we want to round out that discussion by talking about how do bunim, how do children factor into the mitzvah legaresh, the kfiya legaresh, the rishus legaresh. That's on the agenda for now. Sound like a plan?
Yes.
Yeah, great. Are the air conditioning, is the air conditioning on with you in that? It's on. Okay. So let's just give a little background. We have the Gemara in Yevamos Samech Gimel Amud Aleph. For whatever reason, the Gemara here brings us into the conversation of a bunch of Amoraim complaining about their marriages. Fair characterization. So the Gemara in Yevamos talks about Rav and Rav Chiya and we'll see Rav Yehuda. The three of them seem to be expressing their either discontent or their aggravation with their spouses. So let's get a volunteer to tell us about Rav. So what happened here in the Yevamos Samech Gimel Amud Aleph? Tani, why don't you read it for us? Rav?
Rav have mitar mipater mera bichim. He's leaving Rav Bichio. Amar le rachmana letzla mimide de kashem mamas.
What does that mean?
May God protect you from something worse than death.
Yeah, may God save you from something worse than that. Good. So.
So umi ika mi de kasha mimabe mimabasa. So what could be worse than death? Or misses.
What could be more severe than death? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Nafak.
So he went out and looked and found.
Yeah.
Found a woman to be worse. To be fair, it's Rebbe Shlomo.
It's what?
Rebbe Shlomo, so it's
ironic. Yeah, but he's saying there are some cases of marriage that are considered worse than death.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thought of this pasuk in Koheles. Gets used a few times. Here's the pasuk. It does talk about some specific character traits, but at least we could say that some marriages are worse than death. That's the thought of the Gemara in Yevamos. Very extreme statement. But the Gemara grounds it in the Pasuk. So then the Gemara says that this seemed to have some... This wasn't just like a joke, but it struck close to home for Rav. After all, what does the Gemara say? Rav... Yeah.
Rav Havakah Tzara Le Besu.
So what does that mean?
His wife was causing him, Besu's wife, so his wife was causing him Tzara.
Yeah, his wife was distressing him, causing trouble for him. How so? This is quite a famous Gemara. You usually hear about this Gemara in the Mutar L'Shanos Mepnei HaShalom discussion, whether you could lie for Shalom Bayis. Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's right.
So,
right. This whole Gemara Yevamos, I think, is not Shavu Brachos material. Tani, go ahead.
Ki Amar Le.
Right. Kind of strange why she did this. Not clear to me. But, you know, he would ask for Frosted Flakes, and he would get Honey Nut Cheerios. He would ask for Honey Nut Cheerios, you get Frosted Flakes.
It feels like it's a little bit like the intention behind how Hakdicha Tafshilu, like this is what you're talking about, how you shun the kaka of the spot.
Seems like it, right? If anything's like Hakdicha Tafshilu, this is it.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, she was causing him distress. We'll see. Some of the Mefarshim here are puzzled. How come Rav didn't get divorced then? Yeah. Right? Anyways, when Chia grew up, Chia kind of figured this scheme out, and so he just
swapped.
Yeah, exactly. And then Rav chastises him
for changing his commands.
Exactly, because that's Linda Lashonim Dabar Sheker. That's a bad thing. Fine, she'll just be honest. So that's the Rav. That's the story with Rav. Then the Gemara tells us that Reb Chia also had a similar troubles. So tell us about Reb Chia. His wife was causing him distress to Reb Chia. Meaning what?
That she would serve for him.
To the contrary, the Gemara here is praising Reb Chia's chivalry and saying that even though his wife caused him endless grief, nevertheless, Reb Chia was a gentleman, and when he found like a nice thing on the street,
he would wrap it
nicely and give it to her as a present. Right? Yeah. So, like, Ezra found checks under his... What is it?
Checks mix
under his seat. Anybody lose checks mix?
Okay,
so if you're a gentleman, you would have, like, wrapped
it. I asked the road.
Yeah. Okay. So then Amar Le Rav turned to Reb Chia and said, why are you being such a gentleman? Why are you giving, you know, you found this thing, you're treating your wife so nicely, why are you doing this, Amar Le Rav?
V'haka. Oh, so Amar Le Rav, V'haka mitzara le lamar. So she caused you stress, i.e. why are you being nice to
her? Yeah.
Amar Le, Davish Megulos Peninu, Metilos Osamim,
Mi'achim. This is quite a striking statement, meaning, yeah, that
it's
what?
Enough that they raise our kids and save us from sin. It's enough, it reminds them kind of like the rub. People ask him why his wife doesn't cover his hair. You would say, ask my wife then.
There's like five different ways that story goes.
It's great that it reminds you of that story, but
hard to see
the connection. No, this is about, he's saying, look, it's a sufficient threshold for me respecting or treating my wife nicely is that she raises my kids and saves me from averus.
So
it's like a minimum bar. You say, look, one way of reading this is like the marriage is still sensible because it, it does enough things good. That's one way of reading this line. Yeah, David.
Is Rav like to have this personal comment?
Dayenu, right? Dayenu, it's sufficient for us. Shemigadlos. So, you know, there's no etzem at samai, basar mibsari, davak b'ishto, v'agila basar echad, in the svarno sense. That's not here, right? There's none of the Ramban sense of, sheyachbots lios ima tadir, right? Some sense of psychological affinity. He's saying, no, all that's gone, there's no love, but it's sufficient that... Megadlos banenu umatzilos asanem
anachi. What I mean is it's like part of the film, he's prescribing that as like the baseline for every marriage, and that if a marriage does this, then it's successful. Or if he's saying, for me, it's enough. Like I don't
know.
Yeah, but who's the new? Is it he and her, or is it he and everyone?
I think sufficient for us. I think. Oh. You think it's subjective? I don't know. I mean, look, this gets back to something that we saw earlier in the year, like a Zivug Rishon Zivug Sheni type distinction. Where we're saying, look, they're just different quality marriages, right? And the question is, the grounds for divorce might change depending on that. And in Rav's view, look, Megadlos Benin Matzil Sanim Menachid is sufficient reason not to initiate a divorce, right? That fair reading? So we have another, so notice the introduction of Megadlos Benenu. One way of reading this line in the Gemara is, in fact, that you need both of these criteria to be satisfied to explain Rav's conclusion. Or let's say it was just Matzil son of Menachit, maybe that wouldn't be sufficient. But either way, Megadlos Banenu seems to play one role. Who makes this diak in the Gemara? We'll see it later on. We'll notice the reference to the children here in Yeramos. Then we get another story here with Rav Yehuda and Rav Yitzchak. So, Tanya, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
If this reminds you of any other stories, you know, just keep it to yourself.
Do you understand why I've said it? Because
no. Does anybody understand the connection to the story?
Can I explain? Is it really explain?
Please. Yeah.
I was going to say, because the Rav would always refuse to put a poskin then whether or not he would believe women should cover her hair. So if I were to guess, I would say because he would poskin that in theory, women should cover their hair, but his wife doesn't, so he doesn't poskin that. But, like, she's his wife, so, like, they kind of, like, have their personal relationships that, like, kind of supersedes the, like, I guess, nuanced halacha. And that's why, like, even though his wife causes him tzar, it's enough that she, like, raises his kids and his wife that, like, he puts that aside. And that's why I was saying it was similar. Not to say that the Rav's wife caused him tzar, but it's like, you know, kind of less than that. That's why.
All right, well, we can talk more about this. The alleged connection between the cases.
I don't know.
I see the connection. They're both stories about rabbis and their wives. I think that's the connection, right?
I
don't think it goes deeper than that. But let's go on. Let's summon Gilman Bates. Mock me later, Vito. Yeah,
remake.
Right? That was
very intense.
Yeah. Josh is very excited by this. He thinks this is the Talmudic version of the
Your mama joke. Yeah, first ever.
Yeah, that's what we said too.
Right, so he's very excited by this. So you have three discussions here in Yevamos, where these Amoraim are explicitly complaining about their marriages, right? And yet there's no indication that any of them culminated in divorce. At least that's the diak of the Yaakov Emden, which we'll see in a second. Okay, so that's Samech Gemombes. Three cases. They all seem to be saying that their marriages are terrible. In Rabbi Yehuda's case, he says, Motani Marmi Maves, right? Which is the coming off the Gemara saying that a bad marriage could be worse than death. And they seem okay with this. Like, it doesn't justify or it doesn't compel Gerushin. All right. Now, if you look in the Gemara in Samech Gemara Beis has a whole series of discussions about bad marriages or how bad a bad marriage can be. So let's just look at this for a moment. Hechidami Ishara, this we saw. Mekashale Tacho, Mekashale Puma, that's fine. And here, this famous statement of Imaraba in the West, which is Eretz Yisrael, what would they say? Ask somebody after they got married. So, Daniel, you just got married, so why don't you read the Gemara for us? Kinase Vinish Isisa. This is like the joke, right? After somebody got married, they would say matzah motzeh, right? Is it like the best thing ever, marriage, or is it like the worst thing ever, right? I said that is the. It's the equivalent when somebody comes over to stay and say it's like, so how's married life? And that's like the colloquial version of this, I guess. The Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says. Okay, you could skip to here. The Gemara has a whole. Rava has a whole bunch of things to say about this. Amar Rava.
Amar Rava kashe yishra roer yom sagir. Does parei biyom sagir
peishet midinim. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. I just put it on here for you. Basically, like a stormy, nasty day with like hail and rain is comparable to an antagonistic wife. That's the pasuk in Mishlei seems to say, and the Gemara in Yevamos is using that as a paradigm of kasha isha ra ki yom sagrir, and then we have Rava with another statement. So Daniel, take us to that statement. Borei. Mishapcha. She's saying, look how great a good marriage is. That Torah says, Matzisha Matzatov. If it's talking about a woman, then you see the pasuk's really praising a good marriage. And if it's a metaphor for Torah, like how great that the Torah, that I guess the psukim think that a good marriage is comparable, or that Torah is comparable to a good marriage. Right? So whether it's metaphorical or literal, the pasuk's saying really great things about it. But then, on the other side, Kamara Ishara. Sorry, over here, yeah. Right, so if the pasuk's metaphorical about Gehenna, then look how terrible a bad marriage is, that the pasuk analogizes it to Gehenna. And if it's talking about a marriage, then the pasuk's straightforward about how terrible a bad marriage could be. Okay, so this is really enshrined in Chazal, I mean, like this notion that a marriage could be great or it could be really awful. Here's another example. Kama ra, sorry, hinani mevi ra shelo yuchal atzas mimena. This is, we're post-Tisha B'Av still. This is in Yirmiyahu, Yid Aleph. L'chein komar Hashem, hinani mevi aleihem ra shelo yuchal atzas mimena. What's considered an evil or bad that you can't escape from? An inescapable badness. You might have said that. But that's not how the Gemara darshins the pasuk. So let's see. So back here, Hinani mevi ra shelo yuchal atzas mimena, Rav Nachman. So if the ksuba is too expensive, remember we saw the whole point of a ksuba, shelo te kala beina v'lotzia. It's economic sanctions to make it hard to get out of marriage. If you can't afford that, you're really stuck in. As I mentioned in the past, people do complain, especially in America, divorce is very expensive. Right, like look at Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, right? It's a really expensive thing. They could afford it. But that could lock people into a marriage, right? It makes it harder to dissolve. So that's a ra, shelo yuchlu latzeis mimena. Isha ra v'ksuvasa maruba. In all these cases, you sound almost like the Gemara is saying it, like these marriages should be dissolved, right? Look how terrible they are, etc., etc. And let's give another example. Nisanani Hashem, go ahead, Daniel. Yeah, Hashem like putting me in conditions that I can't get up from. So you can see here that's a pasuk in Eicha. So you know, we went from Kohelas to Mishle to Yirmiyah, now we're in Eicha already. Nisanani Hashem bidei lo uchalkum. Right, so you think that's talking about the terrible conditions of the Churban, but the Gemara says nope. It's equally referring to a bad marriage. So, take it away, Daniel. Nisanani Hashem bidei lo uchalkum. Yeah, same principle. Okay. This last metaphor is the hardest maybe to understand. Begoy naval achisem, pasuk in Devarim. So what's going on? Begoy naval achisem. So what does that mean? Literally, what does that mean?
Non-Jewish nation,
I
will be angry at.
Yeah, I'll subject them to the anger of this foreign or despised nation. So that's somehow supposed to refer to a bad marriage, right? Zui sharav iksubasa maruba. So, I mean, look, the Gemara and Yavam is a little over the top with this, right? The badness of a bad marriage. But it seems to say, in the context of all this ishara, the Gemara even here says, ishara mitzvah lagarsha. That appears in this context. Let's see, it's in the same sugi. I don't have it on this. Here? There you go. I don't see it, but I take your word at it.
It's the second line of the...
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here. Amarava. Amarava, Yisharah, mitzvah legarsha. Dechsev garesh leitz. This is the pasuk we saw. Oops. So we in agreement here that the Gemara seems to say there are these terrible marriages, and a terrible marriage is a mitzvah to dissolve, mitzvah legarsha. Some version of that. Okay? But in the same breath, we have the Gemara saying, Dayenu shemegadlos banenu. Azkara?
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm just like, it's interesting to hear that it's comparing a bad marriage to the korban. Wow. Very classic court, about like why all the korban and not to get to, because in some cases, the gang is comparable to the divorce is comparable to the korban.
Nah, yeah, it's interesting. Cuts both ways.
Yeah.
I guess like a good get, like a, you know, sometimes people like to say in these Dayana circles, you know, shalom bias, you know, either shalom bias is achieved through like breaking apart the marriage or through like fixing it internally. But the thought is like, look, the Gemara here seems to say very explicitly that a bad marriage is a terrible thing. But it's not my, I don't think it's my chiddush. Benji, do you agree? I think Mara seems to say that.
Yeah.
Okay. The question is, should the existence of banim defeat that? Defeat the badness? Or be a defeat the reason of mitzvah legarsha, or defeat mitzvah legarsha under those circumstances? So it's not clear from this Gemara at all, except that we have the paradigm of those Amoraim. But if you look at Erevin Mem Aleph, we have something a little more explicit here. So let's get a volunteer for Irvin Mem Aleph, who prepared this this sigya. Zev, take it away.
Okay. Shlosha in Rowan Ken, so three don't see Ken. Behem, you get an ES of Fole, the Arbishus. Sorry, so yes.
Doesn't matter, we don't care about that.
What?
Okay,
yeah.
The Yeshomrim.
The Yeshomrim. Abisha Lamisha, also a
so yes. So Nishara is so terrible that you have so much torment and kapara in this world that you're not going to suffer in Gehenna.
Right.
Vidach.
Vidach. So where's the other guy to say? Well,
who doesn't think that Nishara gets on the list?
Nishara is mitzvah legarsha.
Okay, so it's a mitzvah legarsha. So there's a remedy prescribed by halacha. Vidach.
Vidach. Zimreduk sumer.
Okay. Inami. So let's focus on the Inami, right? Notice how the dialectic in the Gemara is between
mitzvah legarsha versus kislei banim.
Now, mimena.
So the question, can you get from this Gemara what?
What can you get from this Gemara? Just look at the symmetry of the two views. One view holds mitzvah legarsha, the other holds says isnei banim mimena. Josh? Yeah, that it defeats the mitzvah legarsha. Right, because the dialectic is between saying Yishara mitzvah garsha, there's a mitzvah to divorce her, versus saying like no islay banim mimena, under those circumstances there is no mitzvah garish. That's one way of reading the Gemara. That everything that we read about mitzvah garsha is cases where there are no shared children between the husband and wife. That's one way of reading the Gemara. Alternatively, how might you read it? How might you read it?
So, is that how
would you...
That's just not practical. Lo matzi migarish la. The lo matzi migarish sounds like you're not able to. It's not clear what does it mean you're not able to. But it means like for practical... It's very difficult for you to do that. Right? At the most pragmatic level. Similar to, for example, Ksuvasa Maruba. Zimnin de Ksuvasa Maruba, it's hard to extricate yourself from the marriage when the exit costs are so exorbitant, paying out the Ksuva. So to hear Islei Banim Mimena might just be exorbitant exit costs, not financial exit costs, but maybe financial even, like who's going to watch the kids, or you'd be alienated from your family, or who's going to coordinate things, right? So there are two ways, I think, of reading this Gemara, whether you focus on Islei Banim Mimena as addressing mitzvah legarsha, defeats mitzvah legarsha, or whether you just focus on lo matzi megarish, somewhat symmetrical to Ksuvasa Meruba, but it's impractical because of the exit clause. So everybody see those two readings? Yeah. I want to spend some time in a bit later thinking about the difference between them. Whether it neutralizes the mitzvah, or whether there's just some sort of practical obstacle given the exit costs. Okay. So both the Gemara in Erevin and the Gemara in Yevamos seem to think that Isle Banim bears on what would otherwise be the din of the mitzvah legaresh, reshus legaresh, right, whatever it might be. Are we in agreement on that? Yeah? Okay. Daniel, you have a hand on this? Is the bun meaning it defeats the mitzvah?
Yeah, it defeats the mitzvah. Then what would be like the source of that, though? There needs to be like a source as to why it would like take away the mitzvah.
Why do you need a source?
I don't know. I feel like there needs to, like, it can't just be like, what's the reason behind taking away the mitzvah? Like, I don't have a source, but there has to be
a rationale.
Yeah.
Good, so we have to. Daniel wants a rationale. Somebody give him a rationale.
But if we can't, but like, I feel like it has. Could
the rationale
be, though,
Josh, look at it. Well, maybe the Torah doesn't want you to incur too deep costs. Is that the idea? Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amonim Shal Yisrael. Josh, you have a...
You mentioned, like, at the end of last year that perhaps having a child just objectively, like, strengthens their marriage ties.
Maybe something like that, yeah. We'll come to that. But yes, I think we all agree that if you go for the...
I'll just be more explicit about these two views. One view is that Bunim defeat the mitzvah. Yes? The second view is that the mitzvah is too costly. Yeah, there are many mitzvahs we don't do because they're too costly. Somebody give me an example.
At least seven Ashkenaz.
Oh, no, I don't think
that's...
I think that's just... There you go. There are a lot of things we don't do because it's too costly. Ned, do you have some examples? That's a paradigmatic example of Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amonim Shal Yisrael.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the rest of the Beis Mikdash was so, like, frugal that that's why I spent an extra...
Touche, Yoni. You know, it's the... But for some things, Hashem has Rachmanos. You know, Shechter always says something like, you know, he doesn't tell people to do trela, it's because it's too expensive, something like that.
Okay. Moving to Eretz Yisrael, perhaps?
Well,
perhaps moving to Eretz
Yisrael. Yeah, moving to Eretz Yisrael, sometimes the cost is a consideration. It's not unprecedented in halacha. We talk about how much a person is supposed to spend, how much mevazveis, al yevazveis, yosher michomesh, to perform certain mitzvahs. So let's look at how the mefarshim take this gemara on these two different interpretations. But I agree with Daniel that if you're going with A, then... You need some sort of internal explanation to explain why something about Bunim should defeat a mitzvah garish. Right? Whereas here, the burden of explanation is much much simpler. Yeah? Zev?
Yeah, just that you could have maybe a third reason, or maybe it's rooted in need of, like, it's, you know, not going to be good for the kids or something like that. Like,
yeah, bad for the children, something like that. Yes, let's. That might be costly, but let's see. Let's see what it is. Yeah.
You don't mean like monetary costs necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily. Right, costs could be psychological or all sorts of costs out there in the world. So look at the Yaivitz. The Yaivitz is...
Zolti.
What?
Zolti.
Zolti? That's the Mishnah's Yaivitz.
Yeah.
No, this is, who's that goes, Yavetz? Are you related to Rav Zolti, Mishnas Yavetz? You don't know.
No.
He's the Rav Yishlaim. That's not this Hagos Yavitz. This Hagos Yavitz is Rav Yaakov Emden. Well, yeah, that's the Rav Yishlaim. This is Rav Yaakov Emden, one of the great Gedolei HaAchronim, also a very colorful figure. So what does he say here in his Haaros on the Gemara Yevamos Samach Gimel? Josh, take us through it. Read it carefully. Nechna
b'tzido. V'had lo gershu Rabbi Nirbina, v'had lo gershu Rabbi Chia, the Rav, Rabbi Gudelish, Shotan, v'shid d'havalu banim,
v'nayu. That's his chiddush, by the way. And the Gemara did say in one of the cases, or in the middle case, you know, dayenu that megadlos es baninu matzilos esanim en aveira. The Yavetz here says that, no, the reason why these Amoraim, all of them, didn't divorce their wives, even though their marriages were so terrible, was because the existence of their children. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's analysis of the Gemara. It's big chiddush. Right? And then he connects it to a Gemara in Pesachim. It's kind of genius work here. Chomosh Amar,
I'm sharing the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yishli Bani Minah. The Alpha Pisha Haita Zona, Chirisman Havam, Marata, Imen Sheili, Yarish.
So the Yavetz is connecting us to a third Zogya, Nidarim Samachvav.
Gam Asher Chassidim, Hizkevel, Lo Havu Kolkach Rot, Dahu Ma'aviran, B'milei Kivet.
Yeah, so this is the second rationale. This Gam Nashi Nishay HaChasidim Anal. So say, look, here are two reasons. One is that the wives weren't so terrible. How does he know the wives weren't so terrible? Because the Gemara itself says...
easily appeased.
Yeah, they could be easily appeased. Right? So we don't care about that answer for now. That seems to be a second type of consideration. But let's look at the first answer. He's saying it's the existence of children. That defeats the Geirushin. So this is a word-for-word quotation of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Yevamos. Okay, what I put up here. He brings us to Pesachim Pei Zayin. What's in Pesachim Pei Zayin? So that's the story with Hosea. Let's look at that. So that's on page... Pesachim Pei Zayin. Also a wild story. Who knew that Shas was so colorful?
Colorful,
yeah. Tanakh is also very. Tanakh, we knew that was colorful, no? Not this colorful. Okay, so the Gemara Pesachim Pei Zayin Amid Aleph talks about Hosea's discussion with Hashem. At one point, Hosea says to Hashem, "Rabbonu Shel Olam, Kol Olam Shelchahu." Ha'avirem b'uma acheres. This is like the replace B'nai Yisrael theory, right? Why are you so loyal to the Jewish people? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tzchar, you want to take it for us?
So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'asem was left in Zayin, which I do with Hosea. Amar Lo, so Hashem sent to him, Lech, Makaf, Isha, Zona, Beholdi, Ba'adim, Zunik, have children, have Nuts.
Yeah, we're bunim together with her, and then it's the paternity will be uncertain.
Yeah.
Right, because she's such a licentious person. Right, she's a prostitute. The acher kach. Yeah. It's almost like the Yonah. Right, so trying to teach Yonah the lesson, right? I'm not going to have Rachmanos on things I created. So you have a similar type of back and forth here with Hosea, where Hashem wants to give Hosea this lesson, and so the lesson is marry this woman who's a Zona, father children with her, and see if you could get rid of her. And that's supposed to be the analogy to B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael are so wanton, but kind of the relationship runs deeper, right? So let's see what happens. Imu yachal l'shloach.
Imu yachal l'shloach, achayet l'shloach.
Okay. And then the pasuk goes on to say that Hashem instructs Hosea to marry. Who is he told to marry? Right, and the Gemara has a whole drasha about her prostitution, right? So that's where things get colorful. And the thought is that she was like an active prostitute, even while she was married to him. And what happens? So let's see. The Gemara won't even say how cold. Dashin Bakidavla. Right. So I think as adulterous as it gets. So what happens? So he ends up having children with her. Lachar Shanoldulo. Yeah, Moshe separated himself from his wife. So too, maybe you should have separated yourself from this woman that you married, and you should go your own way. The Mefarshim here say the Marsha says that Bidol means Gerushin from the Lashon of Havdalah, to separate. And psachim sometimes talk bidili minei, people staying away from something. So you should have gone your own way. Oh, and now Hoshea responds, and what does he say? Amar lo. Yeah, yeshli banim imena. So here we have a third Gemara, kind of connect the dots, right? It's really interesting. You have Erevin, you have Yivamos, now you have psachim, where yeshli banim imena seems to be a reason not to go forward with the divorce. Right. So it's actually very, you know, you can see the good bekiyas of Rabbi Yaakov Emden pulling these different sugyas together, right? They're kind of these agadata gemaras spread out, and Psachim, Erevin, and Yivamos, and they're saying, oh, this really constitutes a bona fide halachic principle. Okay? Ve'en ani yachal lohotzia v'lo legarsha. So, you know, I can't separate, I can't divorce her. Notice the gemara doesn't exactly say why. It doesn't give it the exact reason. You know, and then Hashem says to him, and here's the Kal v'chomer, right, Uma ata, like the paternity of the children is like, you don't even know if those kids are yours. And still you feel like you can't divorce her. Etc, etc. So if you ask me, if I asked you, make it easier. what's the significance of this last line, this Kavachomer? Ma ata sheishtecha zono banecha b'nei znunim, v'ena atedem shalchayim shalchirim, kach. So what's that? What's that saying? So I could have said, at what level does that argument operate? Yoni?
I was thinking that it's not necessarily that it's a family unit, but that like she gave him children. So he believes that she gave him children. So it's not like, oh, we have this family of kids, but she did this service for me.
Yeshli banim imena, it's like...
Yeshli banim imena, but like, from her. Like
it's interesting.
And that because like, you don't even know that you're the father, okay, but I still feel like she did this thing to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. If you contrast that with this is the language of the Gemara in Erevin, right? The Gemara in Sakin's language... Sorry, Megadlos' language is what? Yeah, Megadlos, right? So it's an interesting question based on Yoni's point. Daenu she megadlos banenu, right? So Megadlos implies like active raising.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like a tension between the different sugyos. Right? And here you're pointing out that in Sakin we have right, which is closer to the Arabic formulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. I don't know the answer. Yeah.
But I thought that's what you meant by that line also is not like is that you don't even know that they're like they're yours.
Well, that would defeat your point, right? It would, right? They're mutually incompatible. She didn't give you children if they're not your children.
No, but then it would work more into like the McDonald's with you. Like you raise the family together, but not in the mind versus
maybe. It's interesting. Interesting. Yesh li banim imena. It's hard to know.
We already saw before that she does most of the raising. Like that's her. Either it falls on her. That's her primary job.
Yeah, you know, if you remember, that came from that Gemara Nivamos. Sorry, that Gemara Nivamos. We saw this in one of the Rishonim, but they were really appealing to the Sugya Nivamos as the basis for that. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Actually, it's a good point. But what do you make of this line? What do you make of the line? What does kach mean?
Like she gave him
the
children, but she didn't tell him that they were
yours. What does kach mean? Yeah, kach meaning this. So if you asked me, I would have said that's a psychological exemplum. Hashem saying, look, Hosea, do the thought experiment. You feel this way even though you don't know if the children are yours. Right? It's not a normative statement saying that this holds true even when your wife is as engaged in prostitution as Hosea's wife was. Does everybody see the difference? Meaning, this line of kach, is that just making a psychological point? Hosea, look, you feel like you can't separate. It's really hard for you to separate, even though your wife's his own. Or is it saying that at the normative level, that you ought not separate, even though your wife is engaged in erva davar? I would have said the first one, no? Just a psychological point that Hashem's making to Hosea. Does anybody disagree? Does that be disagree?
I mean, isn't he trying to, like, God's trying to justify his actions? So it seems like he would be saying, he could be making a normative point that, you know, this is, you shouldn't be more sensitive.
Is Hashem making a normative point or a psychological point about himself? Like, it's hard for him to divorce Bnei Yisrael, or he can't send off Bnei Yisrael? It's not clear. It's not clear to me, right? Okay. Sorry, you had a comment on this, or are you good? I'm just flagging this now because we'll see the Mishnah Halachos has a, he reads this line. Like, he thinks this is normatively relevant. That's part of his argument.
Yafo sounds like just like, you know, weakness of will.
I ought to divorce her, but I'm like, it's hard for me to.
I just told you to. Like, I don't know. Like,
how am I going to get to work? How am I going to get to work if, like, my wife's not watching the kids? I mean, like, it's too costly. Is that how you're reading? I think the Gemara itself is open. It's not clear how to read it. Right, it's not clear to me what the better reading is. Kiva?
The fact that Hashem told Hashem to go through this whole process implies to me that it's more of a psychological thing. It's not like, hey, Hosea, like, think about this. It would be hard to go through it, actually, you know, be in the same process. Feel
it's pedagogical, right? I mean, it's like, let me try to teach you a lesson here.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the Pashup Shah in the Gemara, but that's not how a lot of the post-game read it. So let's look how the post-game read it. So let's look, let's start with the... let's look at the Cheshukei Chemet for a second. Oh, let me go back to Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is not so clear. He just says the reason why these Amorayim didn't divorce their wives, the Havlu Banim Imena, he cites Psachim Pezayin. But he says, Afal Pisha Haisa Zona. So what does that add? Well, that's for sure true. Isn't he making a normative point here? I mean, he thinks that the Hosea example partially explains why these Amoraim didn't divorce their spouses. Right? Rami?
But not for what reason?
Just because it was costly, you're saying.
I mean, he doesn't take a stand. I mean, he says, look at this Gemara, but more ambiguous than his point is ambiguous.
Okay. I want to point out, he also cites Nedarim Samech Vav. Anybody look up that Mishnah and Nedarim Samech Vav? Any sites? So what's there?
Say that, like, your kids are affected by your divorce. If they get bad name, they get a bad name, correct?
Yeah, the concern here is that maybe in some cases the children might be stigmatized by the divorce. That's what the Mishnah seems to say. Poschim la'adam b'chvod atzmo b'chvod banav. When a person makes a neder, one way to have a Pesach on a neder, what's a Pesach on a neder? Yeah, a way to annul it, a way to nullify it. Omrim lo, ilu ha'yisei yodea shalamach. So this is a case of divorce in the Mishnah Darim. Had you known that tomorrow people are going to say that you have bad character traits because you divorce your wives, and then they'll say about your daughters that they're benos grushos hein, ma'rasa iman shalei l'skarish. After all, why would the father have divorced the mother? Right, that's a reason for the Beis Din to consider annulling your neder to divorce. Because of these consequences for the family. People will say, al benosecha, benos grushos hein. You might say, who cares? I mean, it's not really clear what the stigma is. Some of the mefarshim here try to flesh it out. Tosfos Yom Tov says, "Kolomar v'lo yimsu misha yiso son." For whatever reason, people will say, like, the parents separated so easily, so the kids don't have a model of a good home. I don't know if that's what the Mishnah has in mind, but that's like a good thought experiment for one way that you could interpret it. The Tiferes Yisrael says, "Benos Gerusha Hain." What's the concern?
Her bad traits are going to rub off on the daughters.
Yeah, that's right. There's bad traits, bad characteristics in the family, right? Like their mother must have been a bad person if the father divorced her, or vice versa. Iman shel elu, ma rabbi iman shel elu skarish, mistama matzavar bas davar. Similar to the Torah Tmima, people say, oh, if there's divorce, maybe there was some licentiousness going on. All this is fine. That's just the Mishnah Nedarim. But maybe this is what Zev was getting at. If Rav Yaakov Emden quotes this as an explanation for Psachim and Erevin and Yevamos, what does that imply? So he says, "Kmo shemar Hashem l'Kadosh Baruch Hu yesh li banim imen." Aval pi shayis zona k'tan asa ma'rasa iman shayil eskarish. What do you think the Nedarim thing adds to the explanation, Tani? Maybe, but more than that, just in terms of content. What's the thought here? Think about A and B. Josh?
You're saying that it's costly?
Yeah, costly to whom?
The kids.
Yeah. Zed, I think this is one of the things you were indicating earlier. The mitzvah is too costly. And here you might distinguish to who? To the husband, like in the Ksuvah case? Who's going to take care of the children? Or to the children? What if it adversely affects their welfare, then their reputation? Under the assumptions of the Gemara and Nedarim. I don't know if those are empirically true today, but... But that's at least the thought. No? So, the Mishnah Nedarim seems to imply, again, in Rav Yaakov Emden's connecting it explicitly to Erev and Yevamos and Psachim, seems to imply that what might defeat the mitzvah or what might make the mitzvah too costly is the cost to the third-party children. Not about the husband, per se, it's not about the wife, but what about the kids? Ezra?
It doesn't seem to like raise the fact maybe though that it's not...
Even though the wife's a zona. Right? So like this would still be a trump.
It doesn't seem to raise the fact maybe that seems to raise the fact that they're not in a stable house. Just to say, the children will get a bad... Well, maybe are bad, or they get a bad rep. Not that like now they will be in a stable home.
I think there are different ways of... Correct. In the Mishnah and Nedarim, it seems to be reputation.
Right.
Not about welfare, per se. But I think they naturally imply one another, right? Like it's... Because reputation is just one aspect of welfare. Right? But all the more so if the kids, like, will be adversely affected psychologically or educationally, or whatever it is. Right? That's the... I think in principle. Josh?
With like the Hoshea Gemara, isn't it possible that it's like an entirely psychological statement and even so it defeats the mitzvah? Like, meaning part of the mitzvah is like you have an isha ra that's like causing you like a lot of tsar. I don't know, it seems to me that it could be a psychological point, but just within that means you don't have a mitzvah to divorce her anymore, because really, like, she's not really that ra if you know, you love her because of the children and it defeats the mitzvah, but not in like an external way. I don't know.
Maybe. Hold that thought for a little bit. It's very possible. Let's look at the Chashukei Chemetz gloss on the Yaakov Emden. So it's always fun to see when people slip in extra words by accident. Okay, so we just read Yaakov Emden, right? Correct? We read the Yaivetz. So now we get the Chashukei Chemetz, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, son-in-law Rabbi Yashiv. I'm sure you've all heard Shal Shudas Divrei Torah from you know, he has like the sefer about you know, contemporary events related to the parsha. It usually involves like, you know, cars going to the mechanic shop and some shaila, and then relates to the parsha in some way. So here you get some stuff on the daf, and he says, "Bamim rabos, bamim anashim lishol, yeshlam anashim ros, hamim mararos as chayi ba'aleim, maslai mitzvah lizbo v'lo lagarish." Very fair question. Agreed. So tshuva, sais gemar nivamos, ayin ba'galos yaibes. So you start to say, Isha Ra Mitzvah Lagarsha. Right? The Yuim Bagos Yavetz. Hadlo Kami Mitzvah Zu Rabchia Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't they fulfill this mitzvah? And he cites, Kedamra Yoshi Hashela Kadosh Baruch Yishti Banimena Tzana Mihasam Abinosecha Yiyu Binos Karusha Ma Rasa Iman Shalila Is Garish. So he cites Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right? Yeah? Does anything get added in? Something small, or... Maybe it's not the biggest deal. But to my mind, one thing that he threw in was the way he understands the question. The question is, Hadalo kaimu mitzvah zu. Like, he phrases the Yavetz not as asking why they stayed married. He phrases the Yavetz as like, why didn't they want to be mikayim the mitzvah of Isha Rav Mitzvah Lagarsha? So to my mind, it sounds like he thinks this is more of a consideration of why the mitzvah would, like, why they weren't... There are two ways of formulating this question. One is like, why would they stay in a bad marriage? The answer is, oh, because of the children. The other one is, why weren't they fulfilling the mitzvah of Lagarish Ishara? And the answer is, oh, because of the children. I'm not sure if it comes out much of a difference, but I think it, what?
The framing is important.
The framing, yeah, I think it leans more into like, defeating the mitzvah type considerations. That's the way it, that's how it rings to me. Again, it's not mukhrach, but it sounds like he frames the question in terms of like, what about the mitzvah lagarish? And the answer is, oh, maybe there's no mitzvah lagarish under these circumstances. You don't need my diak in him because we have the Mishnah Halacha says it explicitly, but it seems to me like he's leaning in that direction. You know, it's consistent with the general trend of people being worried about mitzvahs. Right, like, what about... What?
What about,
they're worried about being Mekayim mitzvahs.
It's not...
What?
It's
that
smirk.
What's the smirk? No. It's, it is very firm. Is that what you're saying? It's very firm. That's all. I'm smirking because I was reading a philosophy book. All right, Wiederblank's, you ever read his stuff on...
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a very good book. So I'm teaching something about the Yigam Likarim, and, you know, the first ikar is to know that Hashem exists, right? So, like, traditionally, like, the Jewish philosophers pose the question of, like, how do you know that Hashem exists, right? But in the Wiederblank book, the issue is, like, how do you properly fulfill the mitzvah of knowing that Hashem exists? Right, it's just like it's a different framing of the issue. But at one point, people cared about whether God exists. Now we care about how do you fulfill the mitzvah. That's why I'm smirking, though. I think it is a trend, like, to shift important questions just into mitzvah language. When the mitzvah couching is not always important. You might say it's an important question, like, Is it good to stay married when you have a terrible marriage but you have children? Right, that's a pretty important question on its own, right? But then here it's phrased in terms of like, what about the mitzvah lagarish? Now again, you might say they're very related. No?
It's like when somebody asks for Gar, yeah, and he starts saying, well, you know, it's mitzvah, and the guy responded, mitzvah.
There you go. There you go. This is intention with your video of the rub saying, and if the mitzvah of Yishever, if there's no mitzvah of Yishever, it's Israel, it wouldn't be important.
Intention.
Right? Okay, so let's go on to the Mikoros that explicitly. So I think you could couch this in terms of mitzvah, and then you'll say Gemara is teaching us that banim, children, defeat the mitzvah. Let's look at this formulation in the Mishnah Lachos, who I think makes the strongest case. He puts together these sugyos in a normative way, and like argues for a very radical halachic legal conclusion on the basis of these dispersed agadita gemaras. No? So let's see what he says. So the Mishnah Halachos is one of the great post-game of the 20th century. He's in America for a long time after the war and then in Eretz Yisrael. So let's read through this tshuva here. So volunteer, take us to the Mishnah Halachos. Such a great tshuva. Romy, you want to take us through the...
Yeah, we're
on page 49.
Yeah.
He starts off with Erevin, right? Mm-hmm. Quotes the Gemara. We don't need to reread the Gemara. But what he says after the Gemara, Mavur. is that clear from the Gemara?
No, but it's not clear what lo yigarish means. You get
okay.
Much clearer later.
But the Gemara says lo matzi megarish, right? The Gemara says like he's not able to megarish. Lo yigarish is much stronger.
Right.
Sounds almost like you ought not meet. The Gemara, he says, see from this Gemara that if it's a bad wife but with children, lo yigarish, you shouldn't get divorced. Right? The Gemara implied that it's, you know, difficult, it's hard, lo matzi, right? It's not easy to get divorced. He says, oh, you see from the Gemara that you shouldn't get divorced. So he's already pulling us into this normative conclusion. Okay. Then he takes us to Psachim Pei Zayin.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's right. He takes us to Psachim. Talks about the back and forth with Hoshea.
Yeah.
Cites the whole thing, cites the Gemara, and then what does he say? Mikan gamken muchach.
Mikan gamken muchach
Yeah. So he's walking, he's working off his conclusion that he derived from Erevin, Ein Legarsha, right? Not just that it's difficult. And he says, oh, this is the same view, Hoshea is expressing in Psachim, the same view as Erevin, Kishayesh Labana Mimena, Ein, right, Ein Legarsha. You ought not divorce her. No? Not just that it's costly, but that you ought not. Does everybody agree that the Mishnah Halachos is speaking in normative language? Yeah? No? Abe, you agree? Okay. Gubikan. Right, this is not just Rosh Prua. Right, here we're saying, it's clear, like Hashem's saying, like, look, Hoshea, you don't even know if those kids are yours. So I think we all said, well, that's just making a psychological point. Right, like it's difficult for Hoshea to part ways with her. The Mishnah Halachos says, no, here there's a Chiddush Yoser. Chiddush Yoser of the Halacha. What's that? A Chiddush Yoser of the Halacha that even if she's a Prutza, that what follows? So let's see, yeah. So Shachornim Loa Yibarlo, it's not clear which kids were his or from, you know, other people who had relations with her. V'al Kain, V'al Korchach Shepritza Haisa, go on.
Right, V'lo Haisa Midnagurit, V'lo Haisa Misaheges, Bitsnius Gam Tachtav. V'al Hafi, V'lo Hayach, V'al Gajah Kiyon Tayyavo Pandimina.
Yeah.
Even though, it was only he wasn't allowed to divorce him because they had kids.
Yeah, so Lo Hayayachal. Does that speak in is that a normative lo hayayachal or is that psychological?
Based on everything else, independently it could be either. But based on everything else,
yeah, it sounds like he's saying like he wasn't allowed to. Hashem's saying like, look, you see her, you're not allowed to divorce her. That's very radical. And then he says, "Vaze Yuvan." So that's very clever reading of the Gemara Nivamos I indicated earlier. What's his reading of the Gemara Nivamos?
The reason that he had that asking through both reasons is because it was just they like save us from sinning, so then he could just naturally ask.
Yeah, the argument is that Matzilos Menachet is not a sufficient reason to stay in a bad marriage. It also needs Banim Mimena. Notice he's cagey on the following. One could have said neither of these conditions is sufficient, right? Which would imply that Yesh Lo Banim Mimena is not sufficient to justify staying in a marriage, bad marriage either. In the same way that Matzilos Sonim Menachet is not justification to stay in a bad marriage. He doesn't want to say that. It sounds like he wants to say Yesh Lo Banim Mimena is sufficient, but Matzilos Menavera is not sufficient.
But that's not necessarily the truth, because it just isn't really a case where you would have the Yesh Lo Banim Mimena apply without Matzilos Menachet not applying.
Why?
But he's married to this woman.
So every case of where
Yesh Lo Banim Mimena... theoretically not, but like most of them, yeah.
If the Gemara could have dropped that then, but fine, right? So he wants to argue that the thing that's doing the work in the Gemara to explain why these Amoraim didn't get divorced is Sheyesh Lo Banim Mimena, right? And not Matzilos Sonim Min Aveira, right? Even throws in a Vidok to say that's a nice diak. He's proud of. Okay. So he says, look, we put together these three Agadot Gemaras. And what does he say? Oshehiprutza. Where did he get that from?
Hoshea
Msachim. So he says two things here at the normative level.
Well, he says.
So two things. Al Yigar Shena. So Al Yigar Shena sounds like. It's like you ought not.
It's the first thing.
Something closer to this.
It's the first step. He doesn't have taken a stance on why.
Correct, but he's definitely saying that you ought not get divorced in the case of banim. That's his view. The al kol panim, and at a minimum, there's no mitzvah in such a divorce. Right, so you could say like, the Gemara Nivamos says mitzvah ishara mitzvah lagarsha. His view is never when there are children. Correct, that's his reading. So he wants to say, number one, you ought not get divorced. And even less than, even if you don't want to go that far, at a minimum, we would say that there's no mitzvah of Gershon in such a case.
That's confusing.
Why?
Because like in the context of the question that we're asking, Al-Quan and Lechem and Tilgarish actually sounds more extreme.
Well, he's, no, because I could say, Lechem mitzvah just means it's neutral. The Gemara says, Ishara mitzvah Garsha. Take away the mitzvah, it's an open question. Right? It's neither good nor bad. But then he wants to go further and say, no. In fact, it's al yagar shena, which sounds like you ought not. No?
Yeah. I guess I'm just saying that if you take away the mitzvah of garish and add this consideration, you're basically saying you can't.
You ought not. Yeah, I think that's true. Right? Then he goes further. He wants to show that this is real teeth. There's nafkamina to it. So tell us, nafkamina bisman hazeh. Nafkamina
bisman hazeh, I mean, ma'ash shaku.
Vitaru.
Yeah, Vitaru, the boski, and makom mitzo, lo gazar.
Rabbeinu
Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, v'yachol garish, bal karcha.
So Rabbeinu Gershom says you can't divorce bal karcha disha, but makom mitzvah, there's no cheirem. Right? But his point is, mikom makom.
Mikom makom, v'yeshlo bani, and alekom mitzvah, asr garish.
Exactly. He wants to say whenever there are kids, there's never going to be a mitzvah geirshin, and therefore you can't divorce bal karcha. That's like a real nafkamina to the absence of a mitzvah in geirshin. Yeah.
Josh.
Oh. So what about in the case of erva? So here's the internal problem.
It doesn't make sense.
The internal problem is that he wants to say this. He wants to say, even if she's a prutza, oshehi prutza, right? But then he wants to say, well, wait, unless there's a chiyav min adin lagarish. Kol she'ein chiyav min adin lagarish. What's his raya? His raya for oshehi prutza is what? Oshea. Does he want to say there's no chiyav min adin lagarish in the case of like a zona? I don't know that he wants to say that. That's really, that would be crazy.
You don't have to. Like, Hashem told him to marry her in that case.
So what does it mean? So chiyav min adin lagarish, you could just say it means like kohen to grusha and amana le kohen gadol and right, chayve lavin. You could say that's it's an open question to my mind what he means by anal of chiyav min adin. He explicitly says prutza, right? The Gemara itself seems to say like Beishamai, right? Kigon zu mitzvah legarsha. Right, if the woman's yotzeis barosha parua ma'isekiur, that he definitely wants to say that there's no mitzvah legarish from makom banim. Just want to point out, it's a very radical halachic conclusion.
Also, has like, really, it makes sense. Like, it could be enough. Like, it's a pretty contemporary humor.
Yeah, 20th century.
So like, it could be like
very sensible.
Yeah, like it could be in that community. Like, divorce was really like looked down upon. Now, like, trying to keep these marriages together.
But yeah. Yeah, sociologically even, yes. At the sociological level.
Yes.
Agreed. Let's look at his other tshuva here along these lines. It's mostly the same analysis, but in Mishnah Lachos Yud Reish Nantes, he says, Kol sheyesh labana mina, dikdakti makam acher, deir afilu b'isha ra, leka mitzvah legarsha. Cites Hoshea, etc., and he says, "Al kol panim nir b'yesh labanim afilu me'isha ra kasha hagerushin." Here, I think it means like it's difficult to justify divorce. Right? That's I think the kasha hagerushin means like it's morally or halachically difficult to justify.
It's just a really crazy opinion.
You think it's crazy?
Yeah, I feel like. I mean, like most people don't follow. Like that's what.
I don't know. What do most people do?
I'm saying, I assume also if you still want to grab my advice, you like, have a terrible wife.
You used up your halacha lemaisa question today with the checks mix. And now ask about
Michelle. No, basic experience in the
only one practical issue per day. So, maxed out. If you look at the. Oh, Daniel, give a hand.
No, offer rationale.
He doesn't offer a rationale. Correct. That's what we want to... Like, it's still an open question. Even though he's very strong in his argument. Right?
Also, even though...
I think the Yaivets, the Ryakabandin, seems to lean into Nadarim about, like, the adverse effect on the children. Right? That's what Ryakabandin seemed to lean into when he cited Nadarim.
Then do they ever come to an end? As in, let's say, like, the kids are now, like, 40 years old and independent or something. Are you still not allowed to divorce your wife?
Yeah. This might depend on Yoni's question about Islay Banami Mena versus Megadlos. Right. He doesn't say you can't, he just says you ought not. Like, I think it creates like a stronger presumption. Maybe his formulation is too strong in the two that we read. What's that, Romy?
Unless it is a function of, like, we're all assuming that it's about the children. Unless it's really about their relationship.
The marriage.
Which is just...
Right,
indicative of a certain kind of relationship.
Right, the Yaivates instrumentalized it.
Correct.
So you're saying we don't know that yet.
You could also then not be as if they adopted kids.
About Megadlos versus... Yeah, the Gemara even says in a few places, Kol Megada Yasam V'Yisoma Ma'ala L'Vakasov Kilo Yulado. There's some dinim in Shtaros that you could write Ben for somebody you adopted, like you could say, like, so-and-so, Ben so-and-so, because, like, you raised them, the Maram Rudenberg cites that Gemara, that Kilo Yolado. It's an interesting question. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Still trying to figure out the checks mix question. I just want to point out the Shid Lahoros Nasan, a contemporary of the Mishnah Halachos, also addresses this question. Kind of, someone should look into this. You know, like, why did it take until the 18th century for Poskim to start thinking about the kids? Like, if the Yaivets is the first to point it out, right?
What was in the Gemara?
Probably, probably a function of Shuta. Many more questions came up about New York Shuta.
I mean, there are chuvas in the Rishonim. Like, there's no chuva. I mean, check, is there a Shid Rashba about it? Somebody should look at, maybe there's a study about, you know, when did Poskim start caring about the children? I mean, look, the Mishnah Halachos and the Yavetz will say it's in the Gemara already. Right? They'll say it's implicit in Yivamos and all these Amorim. Okay, so the Lahoros Nasan says in Gimel Ayin Hey, he quotes the Yavetz, you know, why didn't they divorce their wives? Notice, he quotes the Chassam Sofer. I should check that Chassam Sofer. Doesn't couch it in terms of mitzvah, just pointing out. And he says, Hare da'af b'isha ra, miyish labanim mina, lo matzi megaresh la. And look, he's worried about my question. Ela d'lefize, yesh l'tmoa. Ned, what's the t'miyah? What's he worried about?
Have kids,
he's not worried about that. What's? Yeah, he's worried about no one talking about it. Why isn't this brought up in the poskim? Why doesn't it make its way into Shulchan Aruch? Why don't you find it in the Rishonim or the Tshuvos? Yesh l'tzmoah de v'Shulchan Aruch v'poskim lo nizkar klal de v'yishara de yesh l'banim leka mitzvah l'garsha. The Mishnah Halachos' conclusion is very radical just from the perspective of the history of Halacha. And the Lohoros Nasan says, yeah, that means that it's too good to be true. So what does he say? Bram Nira. Ned.
Bram Nira.
Against the Mishnah Halachos.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing defeats the mitzvah. And I guess if you take my formulation of the Mishnah Halachos, Halachas Kam V'Kama, it's not wrong to divorce. Like, which is the bigger chiddush, that it's wrong, that there's no mitzvah. So not only is there no mitzvah, not only is it not wrong, it's not even, I don't know which way it goes. You get my point. My point is that there's no mitzvah. It can't be that it takes away the mitzvah, and all the more so, for sure, it can't be wrong to divorce under such circumstances. Right? He wants to say the mitzvah is still in place, even when there are children from the union. Okay. Velo amru. So lo pak amitza, that's the crucial phrase here. Go on. Yeah. So two things here. He wants to read this as too costly. Again, not necessarily financial costs, but it's just too impracticable. And that constitutes a type of onus. And you're just onus in that you can't perform this mitzvah. Why are you onus? So you could have said, because what about the effects on the children or something? He doesn't want to say that. What does he say? Sharehu onus mi legarsha mikivan. Yeah, so he migad lasam is the key phrase here, and this addresses Yoni's point head on about, sounds like he's thinking about she's actively raising the kids right now. Like, who's going to raise his kids if he divorces her? That seems to be the consideration. So it's not about the adverse effect. I mean, maybe, it's not clear. It's not in the Nedarim sense of the adverse effect on the reputation of the kids or their welfare. It sounds almost from the husband's perspective, like, it's impracticable to divorce the spouse who is raising his kids.
You can hire a nanny, this isn't
the point. Right. That's my sense of what he's saying. Correct. Josh?
Is this assuming that the kids are going to be like gone with the father after they divorce?
It's not clear to me. But it's not so clear. Right. They didn't have nesting as a solution back then. That's the idea. You keep the kids, like the kids will stay in one place and the parents will rotate in and out. Yeah, it's all the rage this century. Yoni.
I found something that might be applicable to why, like, 18th century Europe, like, children mattered more. I think it was like...
Wait, that's homework. It's homework. You have to sit on it for the weekend at least.
Okay.
Yeah. But send it around.
I'll send it.
Give us the 1 second version, though.
There
now,
like,
now I'm curious.
Economic ties between families in Europe. So they would marry their children to, like, other families to do business with them. I guess if, like, a husband and wife divorced, then, like, if the kids were, like, the wives, then, I'd also be interested.
Send it around. We'll sit on it. I'm still thinking about the checks mix. What's with all these practical questions? We can talk about it. Yeah, there are discussions. People usually say Latovas Hayaladim, whatever is best for the kids. The Rama has, I think, a formulation like that. I think it comes from a tshuva of the Rashba. Earlier tshuvas said, like, the young girls go with the mother and the young boys go with the father, but just on the assumption that that was, the theory is on the assumption that was best for the children. You know, because father's got to teach the kids how to shoot, you know, and the mother's got to teach the girls how to make shaitels, and then, you know, that's in everyone's best interest. For some reason, that presumption might be rebutted nowadays. Okay, so Delo Matzi Megarish La wrote to Lomar Delo Matzi Kai Begerishin Dehavle Anos Milakayim Esamitzvah. Okay, and what's his raya? He's a very nice raya from the reading of the Gemara. What's the reason to think it's Anos Lekayim Esamitzvah? Lomatzi, but what else in the Gemara, Josh?
This is right next to
the Ksuva point. The Ksuva point, just because the Ksuva is expensive doesn't mean that there's no mitzvah of Gerushin. It just means that it's impracticable because the husband can't afford to pay out the exorbitant cost of the Ksuva. Right? So he says it's that sense of too costly that the Gemara means Lomatzi Lagarish. Okay, so he's on board saying there is a mitzvah Lagarish in this case. It's just not one that the person could perform. So here again, he's worried about the mitzvah. It's like you did a good thing. And he's saying the poskim don't codify it because there still is a mitzvah. Like, and they don't need to codify, I guess, all cases of onsim. That's it. You still might think it's something relevant to say, right? I guess you don't need the poskim to tell you what are cases of impracticability. You can kind of just figure those out on your own. Okay. That's the thought of this. Whereas if it was a mitzvah consideration, then the poskim should have been explicit about this. So in the two explanations that we have, we know Daniel's itching for an explanation. We seem to have one that, in the Yaivetz himself, about the adverse effect on the children based off the Sagin and Darim. And then we have the Horos Nasan, who's explicit that it's just about the cost to the husband. That's the rationale. Right, Zolti? Josh, you were suggesting something, a different type of explanation,
yeah,
that I think it would go along these lines. You'd say, look, we've seen earlier that the halacha itself, when it considers the justificatory burden for divorce, that it weighs the nature or the type of the marriage. For example, we saw, what do we see? Erisin Nisuin. This came up in Josh's Pnei Yeshua that was on the WhatsApp today, right, along with the Mishlam Elf discussion. Maybe there's a different burden for Erisin versus Nisuin, right? Because there are different types of marital bonds, different types of relationships, yes? What else did we see?
Ziva
Grishin, Ziva Ksheni, that's right. So the argument here would be, and the justificatory burden or mitzvah would be different in these cases, right? The argument here is that Vanim could be understood as also something that bears qualitatively on the type of marriage that exists between the husband and wife. So it's you know, the question is, what would substantiate that? Here's a little trickier, but you know, some of you mentioned last year Rashi in Bereishis Beis, V'hayu L'basar Echad. Right, which is the pasuk that many Rishonim spoke about, like the nature of the marriage bond in general. So what did Rashi say? V'hayu L'basar Echad refers to? Yeah, the Vlad HaNotzer Al Yedei Shneihem, Sham Nasa B'sarim Echad. So you might say, look, marriage that results in children, that's like a solidifying of the union between the two. There's now like an outward real world manifestation of the kinyane ishas. That's a solidification of it. No, or a deepening of the marriage. Is that plausible? Yeah, I think that's plausible. And then you would say, from the perspective of ishas, just like once you have nisuin, it's a stronger relationship. Or like just like when you have nishke'a ahavaso, according to the Meiri, where it becomes ishas briso. When you have a marriage with basar echad in the sense of vlada notar notar al yedei shneihem, you have a deeper marital bond between them, stronger kinyan ishas. This is a very deep question about is there halachic evidence that could show that the kinyane ishas are deepened by the vlad hanotzar? It's hard to know. Here's a Mordechai I like to quote. The Mordechai in Ksuvis on the question of why don't you make a birchas hamitzvah at Kedushin? At Erison, many of you don't think it's not a birchas mitzvah. Asher kishanam sozo b'tzivan ala rayos. You guys familiar with that? So the Mordechai says, "Umasha ein mevarchin asher kishanam sozo b'tzivan lekadesh hasaisha." So why is there no birchas mitzvah in kedushin? Mishum de ein asiyasa gemar mitzvasa, because the kedushin is not the mitzvah, not the completion of the mitzvah. Notice he doesn't say that it's not a mitzvah at all. He just says it's not the gemar mitzvah. Maybe it's the beginning. And what about b'shas nesuin? Nami ein mevarchin. Ala nesuin, deshema have a bracha levatela, deshema lo yizku lihibanos yachad. So I think you kind of get this sense where he's saying, look, erusin is not the completion. That's not the gemar mitzvah. Nesuin is not the gemar. Lihibanos yachad is where you kind of, that's where you get a completion of the kinyan ishas. I said maybe that's built into his analysis also. Josh?
It sounds like he's more talking about like peruvu, no? Like more just like...
I don't think it's peruvu, I'll tell you why. Because notice he doesn't require benu bas,
okay,
or shnei banim. This is a deep question. This is an interesting question about like the... maybe there's something different about the first child. Totally separate from peruvu, right? It's not just about now you feel miss peruvu. Like somehow that solidifies the kinyan ishas. Plausible, or it's Medik and Rashi, right? That's the Ramban thoughts about Kinyana Yishas. Rashi is about the Vlad, but the Vlad itself is like a outward sheer manifestation of the Kinyana Yishas. I think this Mordechai has a nice view about that. I'll give you here, I have a reading of a Tashbates. I acknowledge a bit of a Chiddush. And then I'll let you all go. I think it's a nice reading. Well, before I get to the reading of the Tashbis, let me just say, if you look at that Gemara in Pesachim, okay, the Gemara in Pesachim, when Hashem responds to Hosea, he says, well, hold off on that, actually, sorry. I'll just mention the Tashbis here says something interesting. He talks about when a woman dies, let's say a woman has menhagim, then she gets married. Does she keep her family's menhagim, or does she adopt her husband's menhagim? Yeah, usually we say she adopts her husband's menhagim. Yes? No? This is why it's always good for a non-Yekisha woman to marry a Yekisha husband, since she gets to wait 3 hours, but vice versa is always very difficult. But what happens if the husband dies? What happens then? Well, so the view is that she goes back to her parents' menhagim, unless they have children. And then the thought is that then she continues to keep her husband's menhagim. This is a complicated issue, but one thing you could say is like, it could be a technical issue in menhagim and whatnot, but you might say that look, when she gets married, she takes on the husband's monogamy in accordance with the kinyana ishas. Once those kinyanim are gone, she goes back to her family's monogamy. But when they have a child together, even after his death, those kinyanim aren't gone. Right? There's a certain sense in which there's like the child and notzai de shneim somehow is like some existing manifestation of that. Arguably. Okay, thoughts, comments? Yeah, Zev?
That's my, in the cases where they got divorced, so that'd be the same.
Yeah, that's a good question. He doesn't talk about divorce, Natash Bates. I don't want to think about that. It's a great question. Great, so let's stop here. I'll say one more thing quickly about the Banim discussion. But does everybody agree this would be an internal, right, within, like, it's analogous to Zug Rishon, Irisin versus Nisuin, Banim dimension. If you have any other good rayas to this approach, I'd be much obliged to get them before Shabbos. All right, shkoyach, everybody. Next year, we'll talk more about Kofin Ligarish. I want to flesh out those sugyas and ksuvis a little more deeply.